I said, no, you can't play a ninja. This is an old West game, and they didn't have ninjas.
But the year is 1869, and there are historical records indicating there were ninjas.
In fucking Japan, not in the old West.
Right, here we are. Tales of the Old West, Yonada Springs, the next episode. And finally, episode where we are reunited with Nathaniel Hawcock, who, for various reasons, was unfortunately not able to be with us for the last couple of episodes. So, let's just kick off then with introductions around the table. So, Andy, do you want to go first?
Okay. My name's Andrew. I play Nathaniel Hawcock, and... like our esteemed GM said, unfortunately I have not been able to make it, but hopefully I'll make up for it by dying in the first second or something like that.
That's the plan. Tony?
Yeah, I'm Tony. My character is Jimmy Harlesden, rancher, younger brother of William Harlesden, my former character who died doing the right thing. And I'm trying to live up to the example set by my brother in his memory.
Cool. And Matthew?
I'm Marion Freeman. I am part owner of the ranch. And indeed, I've got the most capital. So really, I'm the boss. But I am of mixed race. And therefore, I don't say that too often. I found some great actual black ranchers. Found one in Texas. Lived a totally unremarkable life, except for coming from slavery, borrowing money, building a ranch,
and being successful,
giving money to charity.
Okay.
Lovely, lovely bloke.
Nice.
Sorry, that's by the by. We're doing research still.
Always doing research.
We're always doing research. Yeah, that's it. And... I started off as effectively as a bit of a gambler in my life story, but I'm not very good at that, so I don't push my luck. I am turning out to, with my experience points, Ben, to have some authority, and in the last adventure I did something so splendid in terms of riding my horse very fast. We got four successes or whatever. That I've decided to spend my last XP on making the horse a companion animal.
Ah, cool. Nice.
I can't remember what that entails, but I'm sure we'll work it out when we need to.
The horse stands by you. If you're willing to say
companion. When I'm killed, the horse is dead.
No. So, your horse is your closest companion. When it dies, you lose this talent, but can take it again at half price for a new horse. Your horse gains the loyal quality. It can take your horse's total quality over the normal maximum and will stand by your side and defend you if you're broken.
Cool. That's useful.
And then the level two of that, the advanced level, is you and your horse are so in tune that your steed can make an attack during combat in addition to your action.
Oh, that might be the one to aim for.
So it can rear and...
Yeah.
Or kick and stuff.
Kick.
Yeah.
What's it got for fighting? Which horse am I looking at here? Good old boy. So, yeah, it could, with grit of four... That's not bad. It's got one in fight, but still.
So that's five dice.
Five dice, not bad.
And being kicked in the head by a horse is never going to be fun.
No.
Okay, so who can remember and who wants to say talk about what happened last time?
Well, remembering what happened last time, you know, is one thing, but I have got the email that you wrote, which describes what happened last time. So I can... Well, okay. It was a long time ago. So we decided to take a herd up to Albuquerque, to the market. We were asked by someone called Cody Picker, who is John Chisholm's man in Yonada Springs.
He could
join us. So he was going back to see Chisholm, bringing him a package. various things happened on the way. We encountered a gang of riders who said that the picker was Chisholm's man, which obviously we knew, and that he was taking a message from Donald McGinn to Chisholm.
There were two things. There was a gang of riders who I faced down, actually, on my own, which I've totally forgotten about, but reading it in your...
Yeah.
That was brilliant, that was.
Yeah. That was a very good role, because there were four of them.
Yeah.
And you were on your own.
There were two riders who were part of the ranch. So
there was speculation that gang you faced down was the Kyler gang.
Kyler.
Yeah. Notorious group of cattle rustlers. And all around bad folks, so you were lucky not to be just killed.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly.
Good presence roles, I seem to remember.
With my added authority.
So they met up with some guys from town who had been trailing Picker, and they told us that this package from Picker that was going back to Chisholm was offering him a deal from Donald McGinn. Basically, McGinn was offering to be Chisholm's man in the area in return for basically being given the main share of the Spanish land grants in the southern Rio Grande that are being given out at the moment, and Chisholm obviously is very influential in that. I think these other four guys were keen to just kill Picker and stop him from taking this package back to Chisholm. Again, being the good people that we are, we were not comfortable with that plan, but we did kind of agree to kind of turn a blind eye while they went off to do whatever they were going to do. I think they were then just killed.
We had a very intense campfire conversation where there were hands near pistols, and we persuaded them to let him ride off, but we knew that they were going to chase after him. And later on, you, I think, found their body?
We did find them dead, yeah. Mm. So I think they didn't go that well.
Eugene Rayburn and Ardell Gilchrist were the two people who were found dead. The other two that were with them previously were Dimas Paquito and Milagro Vicenta. And the Rayburn and Paquito families are two of the big influential families in Uinta Springs. But you're on good terms with both of them.
Why they were keen to stop McGinn doing this deal with Chisholm. So we then persuaded Picker to let us to set up a meeting with Chisholm for us. And we were basically going to try and argue that it was not a good thing to, make McGinn so influential around Junada Springs, and that there should be like a more equitable sharing out of the land. We had quite a long conversation with him. He opened the package from McGinn while we were there, and basically that was offering, as we suspected, to become Chisholm's representative in the area in return for taking the lion's share of the land grants. He also said he'd taken care of Chisholm's other man, who we had met and obviously had been killed.
It was called Mikkel Herman.
Yeah, I think we quite liked, but McGinn was saying to Chisholm about he was disloyal to Chisholm, so he'd killed him on behalf of Chisholm, but offered $1,000 in compensation for that. But we had quite a long conversation with Chisholm, and in the end, I think we basically agreed that we would be Chisholm's representative in Junada Springs.
Agents of interest is how he described it, without really going into a great deal of detail about what that actually meant.
So, I think we went into detail about what that would mean for McGinn's offer and what it would mean for us, but I think we kind of assumed it would mean the land grants might be shared out a bit more equitably and not all just given to the McGinns. I think that was where we left it. We did sell our herd.
I think we did manage to convince him that we think the McGinns were guilty of trading his rustled cattle.
Yes, I think that's true.
Yeah, which might have been a key. Yes,
that $1,000 that was part of their bribe was probably $1,000 earned off the back of that stolen cattle. So that's a key point.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that McGinn isn't looked at too favourably in the Spanish land grants. Because despite Dave dropping heavy hints about the land grants, we, of course, did nothing about actually, you know, applying for them.
Just making sure that you were aware of the opportunity if you wanted to try and take it, but it's entirely up to you.
Yeah, I think maybe, when we write this campaign up in some future version, we make that really explicit that that's what we meant to be doing.
Yeah, you just completely blanked it. Okay, who can we shoot now? Okay.
Which may be what most of the players want to do.
Well, that is true. Yeah, so you sold your herd reasonably well. You will get a bonus on your end of season, or turn of the season business roll when it comes to it. And you saddled up and headed home. Now, for that time, Nathaniel Hawcock was doing all the work.
Yeah, riding the range.
running the ranch.
Staying out of the way. Was it of the McGinns, isn't it? Is it?
The McGinn family is the one that you have crossed more than once.
Yes. Thinking maybe, yes.
Let me just find...
Because it was her who arranged the... caused the gunfire, wasn't it?
Yes.
They got Tony's brother shot, I seem to remember.
Yeah, so this is the Tannehill family.
Yeah.
And the first time you came across them was a guy called Gus Tannehill, and he was involved in cattle rustling for Donal McGinn.
Mm-hmm. And
which
killing the family.
And killing the family there, yeah.
Yeah.
You successfully kind of called them out over that, had a gunfight with him. He was shot and wounded, quite badly wounded. After that, his family, his cousins and brothers came looking for you. And it was in that fight William Harlesden was shot dead. But the town was kind of on your side. And the guy who did that was then shot in the back by one of the two Blessings.
That's true,
one of the two men called Blessing, who run Blessing's Saloon. Two former slaves who are now making a good living in Yonada Springs. And were not impressed with the Tannehill gang. And what they were doing, but unfortunately that was too late for William Harlesden, because he was lying dead in the dust at that point. So yeah, you don't get on terribly well with the McGinns. Donal McGinn doesn't even talk to you. His wife Mary does kind of what's expected, you know, meets the forms. So when William was buried, she represented the McGinn family at the funeral. And
I heard that you locked me down and said, out of the way or something.
Yeah. And expressed a desire for the bad blood between the families to be put aside and to be friends. Whether that was sincere or not is entirely up for you to judge.
One thing that happened... We did have a bit of a... Yeah, so one of the other things you missed in the previous adventure when we went off to find his mum...
Right,
In Silvertown, we ran up against another family.
Oh, you youngsters are having fun, aren't you?
The Bullards.
Taylor Bullard. And we got a message at the beginning of the last adventure from them saying they were going to exact some sort of price, or they felt we owed...
Well, Matthew Bullard was the... Basically, the guy abusing my mum, and
she killed him.
She shot him in the end. We had a rather messy fight where there was quite a lot of missing going on.
Okay. Whoops.
But you did defeat him, but then Minnie Matheson, your mother, took the gun and blew his brains out.
Okay.
And he was the younger brother. He was a 21-year-old brother of Taylor Bullard, who is the eldest son of a guy called John Bullard, who basically set up Silver City.
Right.
The elder Bullard is dead, so Taylor is now the head of the family, and the power behind the Bullard family in Silver City. But yeah, he basically said...
How far is Silver City away from us? Right?
It's a fair... It's a couple of days' ride. Okay. It's not a million miles away. So Silver City is over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the bigger map. Silver City is there, and you are there. And each square on that map is 12 miles.
Okay.
But he basically said, you know, you owe us for murdering Matthew. We accept he was a bad sort, so we're not going to come for revenge. But in lieu of that, I consider that you owe me a favour.
Sounds like a fair fight to me, not being partial.
And I will call in that favour as and when I see fit.
Not an incredibly fair fight. I seem to remember
sneaking
one
in
of us was hiding under the bed.
Standing there and shooting him when he wasn't wearing anything, pretty much.
Right. So much for being honourable people.
Well, I think we were. It was an honourable fight, what, not exactly fair.
Yes. Right. So you guys are returning home, kind of as just before they get back. Andy, you receive a letter.
Do I? How fine. Lovely.
Can you read?
I know it's not great for podcasting, but it's up to Andy whether he wants to read it out. Because I think you probably get that on the day these guys come back.
Right, okay, so I can read it.
It's surprising, really, that nobody said, oh, here's a letter for your mates. Did you go down that way?
They might have.
It's a long way out of town.
It might have been that way.
Well, no, maybe we're riding back as some messenger boy from town is riding towards us, having delivered the letter. Let's imagine that.
Does it really matter that much, Howard?
Well, because he's reading the letter.
Oh, I see what you mean. The one thing you do learn when you get back is that the bodies of Eugene Rayburn and Ardal Gilchrist have been returned to Yonada Springs and their funerals are being planned. And we're a few days ahead of sort of the traditional harvest festival in Yonada Springs, so there's preparations happening for a community party, effectively.
Well, that sounds like nothing could possibly go wrong at a big town party.
I mean, this town has quite a lot of parties.
Well, it's had two this year, you know, so it's not that many.
I wonder whether, as we ride into town, we should pay Mr. Rayburn a visit. What did we having discovered the bodies, we must have...
I think you took them to Albuquerque.
Yeah.
And then handed them over to the sheriff, who then returned them to...
Yeah, did we leave any message for Rayburn?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
But we told the sheriff what we thought had happened. No, we didn't. The sheriff
did
made an assumption about that gang.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try and read this then. Don't know how clear I'll be.
Yeah.
Dear Herr Hawcock, it has been 10 years since we last spoke at the morn of the Battle of Yellow Tavern, when the bastard Yankees took the journal from us. I guess whether they want a revenge for when we turned the hide at Fort Pillow the month before. We heard you'd been taken captive and held in that hellhole, Camp Douglas, and we're rightfully glad to learn that after all this time, you've come through alive. Oh, God, sorry, boss, I can't.
That's all right, it's my handwriting.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's been 10 years, near on 10 years since we last spoke, on the morning of the Battle of Yellow Tavern, when the bastard Yankees took the general from us. I guess they'd wanted revenge after we tanned their hide at Fort Pillow the month before. We'd heard you'd been taken captive and held in that hellhole, Camp Douglas. We're rightly glad to have learned after all this time that you came through it alive. And just think how surprised we were to hear your name at the market in Albuquerque, and that fate should have brought us so near to one another at this time. For we're looking to put right a grievous wrong from those old days. You'll remember Colonel Macaulay Keith, our commanding officer. After Yellow Tavern, he fled, taking the wages for the regiment with him, never to be seen again, until we tracked him down. We intend to find him and take back what is ours. That money is ours, and yours, and the men's. We will ride to Yonada Springs just as soon as we can, and hope to bring you into our endeavours. Thinking fondly of our time as brothers in arms, fighting for God and the Confederacy, and hoping we will find you well. Yours, Lieutenant Nixon Reed, Second Lieutenant Clarence Elliott, Second Lieutenant Reuben McDermott.
Just remember where I came from.
Yes.
As you're reading this letter out aloud to me. I may be giving you a bit of a hard stare.
Yeah. Well, I am of the Virginia stock, so they are.
Yeah, so we, none of us are, should be blamed for where we're born. What we should be blamed for are our actions. When these people come, what will you say to them?
Yeah, are you telling us about this letter, by the way?
Yeah, I assume when you said I'm going to read it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. To us.
To us.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
Well, as far as I'm basically concerned, the war is something I'd rather forget. That's why I've never mentioned it to you. That's why I never mentioned it, really, apart from odd hints, especially dealing with the town when we had our little crash with the Tanner gang.
So, what I'm saying is, you know, I'm not...
What?
I'm not taking sides on the stuff that's happened in the past. What I'm asking you is, when this lieutenant...
Yes, I know. I don't know. That's why
the second lieutenants come knocking at the door, what are you going to say to them? It's what you do now that I'm interested in, not what you did in the past.
Past. It is something I most probably got to go to the blessing to ponder.
Oh, so much again to the blessing.
To be honest, yeah.
Well, shall we all ride into town then?
Okay.
Back into town.
You know, sounds like there could be money in it. I wonder how much.
Well, there is a wrong that's been committed to men, and we have seen ourselves very much on the side of right in many of these moral arguments. This is a particularly interesting moral argument, though. What do you know? So they tell you that Colonel Macaulay Keith ran away. Were you aware of that before this letter?
No, I think I was must have been dragged off by the Yankees then. Oh. The battle.
By the Federal Army.
By the Army of the United States of America.
So you know nothing of this.
No.
Therefore, we, round this table, I'm assuming we're probably at the Blessings now.
Sounds cool, yeah.
We three, around this table and this bottle of whiskey,
mm-hmm.
know nothing of Macaulay's motives.
No.
And part of me thinks anyone stealing from the Confederate Army deserves applause and praise. not being hunted like a dog years later. But, on the other side, every man deserves a day's pay for a day's work, which was kind of the point.
And kind of the point of the whole thing.
And if, you know, if you rob the men, I'm torn, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, like I say, I'm decided because I don't really want to know about... Well, that's part of the reason why I came west. I didn't want to say south then, didn't I?
Because... But it's interesting because, you know, you make no big thing of your actions during the war, good or bad. That's all in the past. They simply are putting their rank down there.
Mm-hmm.
They still celebrate the positions that they held.
Yeah. Can I have a very quick word with you, Andy?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm making wrong. I'm just trying to...
Something my memory. I should have done before we kick off, but I'll just quickly do that now.
Shall we maybe... Tony and I go away?
And so you have a conversation on the podcast? Decision. That is...
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
That is actually quite a good thing. Oh.
It'll only be 30 seconds, so
mm-hmm.
don't make yourselves too comfortable out there.
You can't make ourselves really comfortable.
get that little snooze.
Yeah.
Did you know me? Oh, indeed, yes. Ooh, sofa!
Right. No.
So you...
I mean...
So one thing that you would know
mm-hmm.
is that Fort Pillow, that they referenced there,
yes, yeah.
Was a battle that took place on the 12th of April, 1864.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Confederate attack on a Union fort.
Right.
Which is called Fort Pillow.
Right, yeah.
It was a resounding victory, but after that victory, you know that the Confederate soldiers were out of control.
Oh, dear.
And there was a massacre.
Right.
And largely, it was a massacre of black soldiers.
Right.
Who were men of the Union's 31st Infantry mm-hmm. Regiment. And most of them, some of them were killed in battle,
mm-hmm.
but a lot were murdered right. afterwards.
Right, so it's much be one of the memories I don't really want to...
And I guess there's a question of, you're obviously aware of that because you would yeah. have been there.
Mm-hmm.
These three men were there as well.
Right.
My question to you is how involved in that massacre was Hawcock? I'm guessing from the way you are that it was something that you weren't involved in, but couldn't stop.
Yeah, I think I'd be quite appalled, really, because yeah. my father was an avid abolitionist.
Yeah.
And I wanted nothing to do with the war until...
Until it came to change your hometown.
Yes, yeah. yeah. So...
But yeah, so...
That's what I'm trying to think.
So you know that Fort Pillow...
Happened, yeah.
And that's what happened to Fort Pillow. It's...
It's not something I want to remember, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a well-known massacre. It became...
Right.
There were, you know, congressional inquiries into it, mm-hmm. and nothing came of it, of the inquiries, but it's a well-known... I might give them a role to see if they would...
Then, right.
Which is possible. They might have heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, well, that would make them happy.
Yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, yeah, so I just wanted to give you that...
Yeah, I think it was that something first. That, yeah... Yeah, I mean, how are they to coloured gentlemen, shall we say?
Sorry?
These three characters, can I remember what's their attitude?
Yes. I think you probably know this, I'm not going to make you make a roll.
Mm-hmm.
So, you remember these three men quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Nixon Reed was a good horseman, he was a good soldier, he was a good shot. Wasn't tough, mm-hmm. but was competent. He was involved in the massacre, but you right. think possibly he kind of just went along with it mm-hmm. rather than he wasn't actively behind it. Second Lieutenant Clarence Elliot was a tough but good leader, strong personality, excellent horseman, strong in a fight. You don't think he was involved in the massacre.
Right.
And then Second Lieutenant Reuben McDermott, he was cold, heartless, ruthless, a great shot, superb tracker, very well read, but he enjoyed killing. And you think, as far as you know, he was willingly involved
yeah, okay.
behind the terrible events.
Right, and there's no address I can reply to this letter to then.
I think the only thing in it is that they were obviously in Albuquerque at some point, but there's right. no address, no.
Okay. Right.
But when they come back in, I'll give them a roll.
Yes, yeah, okay. Well, I am thinking, right, okay. So Reed and Elliot can most probably, but... I think half of him is going to say, I'm not interested.
Okay.
I think, because I want nothing to do with it.
No, yeah, that seems fair enough. Finished?
Yeah, finished, yeah.
Come in, guys!
I think, as far as I'm concerned, that's why I've even mentioned my rank. The war's over, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
War is done, yeah.
Yes, I noticed that, yeah. Right, can you two guys give me a insight roll, please?
Insight. Let me have a look at my new character.
Here you go.
I am quite good at insight, I think. No, I'm not brilliant. That's only four
I'm
dice.
Immediate.
Have you been told about the new dice rolling?
Not yet. When they're making their rolls, when they're reading the letter in the in the play, I'm going to be looking the rack just to see if they do actually cotton onto the.
See if there's any reaction.
Two successes.
Oh,
good. So is it five?
So five dice or trouble dice?
Yes. No successes. I don't think I'm going to push.
No, you're not going to bother. Okay, nothing comes to mind for you. Matthew, with two successes, you've heard of Fort Pillow, that's mentioned in the letter.
Which is the place where that hell hole that he was...
No, that's
right.
A battle.
That's the Battle of Fort Pillow, right? Yeah.
Yep, which they're referencing happened kind of a month before
he was
the battle where... the last time they saw Hawcock. And Fort Pillow, I think with two successes, you know quite well. You probably don't know all the ins and outs, but it's notorious for having been a Confederate win, but followed by a massacre.
Oh, right.
And a massacre of soldiers from the Union 31st Infantry Regiment, which was a coloured regiment.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think I would know that.
Two successes, yeah.
And it's infamous. There was a congressional inquiry afterwards. Nothing came of it, but it's an infamous atrocity as part of the war.
Right, so Yellow Tavern is the one with the massive defeat the other way afterwards, is it?
Yes, Yellow Tavern was a Union victory.
So you know that hard stare I was giving you?
It's got harder, is it?
Well, I think we know the reason now why that was.
Yeah.
Well, I signed today. I think I'm going to meet them by myself and tell them that, as far as I'm concerned, the war's over and I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it's all very well. It doesn't say here how they're going to meet you. We'll ride for John Arda Springs just as soon as we can and hope to bring you into our endeavours. They can turn up at the door any moment. They could walk into this bar.
Yeah.
Except I'm assuming they're not going to be walking into this bar given the nature of the people that run it. So, you may not have the opportunity to meet them by yourself, is what I'm saying. I'd be very happy if that was what did happen. But...
Well...
Yeah.
Just have a wee chat with someone.
Okay, no worries.
Oh, they're phoning you now, are they? Take this opportunity to have a bit of a...
So you were also talking about going to the Rayburns. If you wanted to do that, or we can leave that for a little bit later. Yeah, I think, I mean, you, in Yonada Springs, the Blessings is up on the ridge. Near the mountains.
This is a new map, isn't it?
No, it's the same one. We're thinking it'll expand slightly as time goes on. And you can see the cemetery, and you can see that there are people preparing for funerals.
Mm. Shall we go? Well, actually, given that we were the ones that found the body, we don't need Andy with us. Maybe we should leave him here.
Pondering
at Blessings and go up and that's their big house, isn't it?
The Rayburns' house is that one. It's on the town square by the pond.
Which was the other? So Eugene Rayburn and who else died? Was it
Gilchrist?
Do we know the Gilchrist?
He was a hand for the Rayburn family.
And Dimas Paquito and Milagros Vicente, do we know what happened to them? Do they make it back fine?
No, they haven't been seen. They're just missing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so who's disappeared?
So these are talking a couple of the people that they were dealing with in the last scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I want. Yeah.
So we're going to leave you here pondering that while we go and speak to Mr. Rayburn about the bodies.
The bodies.
His family member that we found in the previous.
Eugene Rayburn. Yeah.
Eugene and his hand.
All right.
Gilchrist.
Ardle Gilchrist. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should probably go and see the Pacuto family as well. If
James
Pacuto is missing, I don't know he's dead, but nobody knows where
this
he
is. This is the argument over the land or the land grants, was it?
No, this is these two people being killed by rustlers.
Ah, right.
Who I met and faced down. Sadly, not before they'd done the damage, I imagine.
Okay. You want me to start?
Do we really think they were killed by the rustlers, or do we think they were killed by...
Obviously, we don't think that. We know how good your man Pinker is.
Yeah.
Picker.
Cody Picker.
I kept calling him Pinker the last time. It's so, yeah, I expect they confronted Picker, given that Picker's horse was also among the bodies.
Yeah, Picker's horse was there. It was dead.
No. So, yeah, Picker did it, but there's no reason why Mr. Rayburn necessarily needs to know that. Well, given that we have solved the Picker problem anyway.
So you know that Eugene is Garland Rayburn's younger son.
And they've ridden up to us. So there were four, because I remember the Paquitos.
Yep.
But there were actually four men who'd ridden up to us.
Mm. Yes.
And we had the tense conversation.
I think they made it clear what was happening. Two of them rode off.
Yeah.
I think Paquito and Milagro Vicente rode off to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And Rayburn and Gilchrist stayed with you.
Mm-hmm.
Had the tense conversation with Cody Picker. Cody Picker then left. They then left to follow Cody Picker. You never saw Paquito or Vicente again, but you found the bodies of Rayburn and Gilchrist.
So let's go up, cap in hand, and express our condolences.
Do you want me to?
No, it's fine.
You can go with them if you want, but you don't have to.
It's just that you were on the phone call, so that's
fine. Yeah,
we're not doing anything like secret from you.
Well, I have what you do.
Well, now we know a bit more about his past. Maybe we do want to.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, you can come. You can come with us. But
yeah, you can come with us.
Thank you. Well, no.
If you want to.
No, I think I'll stay at the bar, actually, to be honest.
Okay.
Looking at a letter, yeah.
So there's digging going up at the graveyard, but there isn't actually there.
The funeral isn't happening yet. The funeral's going to be
later
today, yeah, this afternoon.
So let us go to the door of the Rayburn house.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's answered by... sorry, Diggles, but if you will lie down there, I'll tread on you. Yeah, the door's answered by a guy you recognise. He's called Brandon Rayburn. Brandon.
He's another son.
He's a grandson. Early 20s.
Eugene's?
Nope, he's not. He's Eugene's nephew.
Okay.
Eugene has got three kids. They're all a bit younger. So the oldest there is 13. The youngest is 10. He calls for his grandfather, and Garland comes to the door. And he sees you. Make an insight roll, both of you, please.
No. Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
Shall I push that roll?
Do you still have a mishap dice on this anymore? Or?
Yes.
Your first five dice are all your mishap dice.
They're called trouble dice.
What?
Okay.
Level of faith did we start at now?
We were saying four, weren't we?
Yeah.
So I think...
Have I got my faith back?
That's a good point, isn't it? So... Try to remember what we decided. Because...
We didn't decide anything, I don't think.
Well, we talked about it.
We talked about it, but...
So... on the basis of the rules that losing your faith shouldn't necessarily mean that you lose your faith.
You can find it behind the back of the sofa.
And I think we decided that actually losing your faith should be a narrative player choice.
So you play an adventure, a session without faith.
Let me just...
Looking up.
Yeah, so getting to zero faith has other negatives. But it's not... doesn't make you lose your faith. Yeah, because we say here, we also encourage players and GMs to think about whether or not the narrative circumstances might lead to the PC actually losing their faith. But this would be something to roleplay, and we would not have mechanics to cover it.
Cool, okay.
So yes, your faith is back.
So what, four as well? Is it all four?
Yep.
Okay, I might push this, just for the sake of it.
Okay.
To demonstrate what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now... I'm rolling four dice that are all trouble dice.
For any ones is a problem.
Still don't no ones, but also no successes.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm down for
Yeah, Garland comes to the door and he says, good morning, gentlemen. you can imagine it's not a day where we are accepting visitors.
No, of course not. We understand. We just came.
We
express our condolences.
Having found your son's body and transported him to Albuquerque, we just wanted to express our profound sympathies for your loss.
That's very neighbourly of you, and we appreciate it. You can see his wife in the background as well. She's sort of listening to the conversation. They're obviously both still a bit upset. He says, "So before, did you see Eugene before you found his body at all? Because obviously you're all travelling in that direction."
We met them on the trail. They were riding with one of the Pekinto lads and one of your hands and one of theirs, I imagine.
Well, Ardell, yes, Ardell, yeah. who we're burying this afternoon as well.
They came. I will say there was a confrontation with Mr. Picker one night, which Mr. Picker left the party shortly after.
You can see his face perks up, or this it kind of strikes a chord, you can see, when you're saying this.
And as you know me as a man of peace. I tried to...
I've watched you have many gunfights from this very door. As a man of peace.
I believe in peace and I'll kill as many people.
to get it, yeah.
And I fear that, you know, guns might have been drawn that evening over supper. But we suggested... that Picker left the party at that point and he rode off. Now, I will say that your son and your hand... Hold on, I'm confused. How many people... Just remind me. Had other people ridden off beforehand?
Yes.
Yes.
Because you'd met the four of them.
Yeah.
And...
we'd had the conversation.
Akito and Vicente had ridden off before... the others joined you on your trail with Picker. Picker only saw
and Gilchrist.
Yeah. As far as you know, anyway.
Yeah. By that time, previously, Paquito and the other hand had left the party. But
why did they leave?
I don't know. They had business. They didn't tell us the entirety of their business. And you know.
Did they tell you? What did they tell you about their business?
Well, if you're talking about Mr. Picker and the package from Mr. McGinn, We dealt with that directly.
You dealt with the package?
Look, I don't want to trouble you at this time.
As he's saying this, he says, come in.
Well, if you're sure.
Come in.
On this day.
And he shuts the door pointedly. With a little slight, not slamming the door, but definitely looks out and shuts the door. Naturally, there are matters which need to be discussed confidentially, rather than on the doorstep of the premier family in town. So what did Eugene tell you?
So. Eugene, and at that time, and Mr. Paquita as well, told us together that they were riding after Mr. Picker because he carried a package that was said to come from Mr. McGinn, which they wanted to not be delivered. It looked, as I say, and then Mr. Paquita and... the Paquito hand, whose name
I forget.
Vicente.
Left the party with, I don't know what motive, but they, to be honest, I think they were possibly going to ride ahead. So your son had it out with Mr. Picker at camp that night. I was very keen that we should not turn this into a bloodbath. Mr. Picker is an accomplished gunfighter.
Did you not wish to help Eugene?
I'm sure we could have resolved this through talking without guns.
Are you saying that Cody Picker killed Eugene?
No, not at all. We don't know who killed Eugene, and I myself came across... a gang of rustlers. What's their name?
Who we believe may have been the Kyler gang.
The Kyler gang.
Rayburn nods. Yeah, everyone has heard of the Kyler gang. Yeah.
And the sheriff believes that it was the Kyler gang that killed Eugene.
However, just Eugene's misfortune of coming across the wrong people at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
They were out there and they were out for blood. I met them too, and I think... I was lucky to get away.
Can you make a performing roll, please, Matthew?
Performing roll. Performing. Four dice. Oh, four trouble dice.
You can have a dice of help from Tony if you want to give him an idea.
Yeah, I'll help. What?
So that's an interesting rule. When Tony offers a dice of help, is that another trouble dice or is that an ordinary dice?
Yeah, I think it adds to your pool, and five dice in your pool are trouble dice.
Yeah, okay. One success.
Okay. Yeah, he's listening. You can kind of see confused skepticism on his face a little bit.
These things don't need to be resolved violently, as we have proved. So. Mr. Picker rode on ahead shortly after. Was it that very night or the next morning? I can't remember. Honestly, I can't remember.
I think it was a day or two later. I think if you're talking about when you found the bodies.
When they rode after him.
Oh, pretty much straight away. Yeah, probably. Yes.
They rode after him. But this is in the dark. I do not know whether they encountered him at all. 2 days later, we found their bodies. I rode hard and fast to try and outpace Mr. Picker and get that package. I was not successful, but together, what's your surname?
Jim Halston. Jimmy Halston.
Mr. Halston and I, shall we say, we arrived at Mr. Chisholm at the time that Mr. Picker delivered the package. So he opened it in our presence. And we made it clear that this package was done without the agreement of the wider community.
Make another performing roll.
Again, one couple of points, so I'm not inclined to push it.
Okay. You think he's believing you.
Yeah.
He's like,
well, he should be, because this bit's entirely true.
Yeah, it's entirely true.
But it seems...
Yeah, a bonus die, I'm forming for the fact that he's telling the truth.
No. Because it seems incredible that you should immediately have been introduced to Chisholm. Why would Chisholm talk to you?
Is that what you're asking? Why Chisholm talk to
you? You're just small-time horse...
It was not...
I was going to say rustlers, but that's not... No.
We,
horse, you know, ranchers.
We basically badgered Mr. Picker. Until he agreed to arrange the meeting.
We were persistent
with
Mr. Picker. We had the support of the sheriff, who appreciated that we had brought your son's body and that of your hand to his presence. So we used, I'll admit, our good relationship with both of these people to leverage us into a position where we could have some moments of Mr. Chisholm's time. I think we spent more time with him than he was planning to give us when we told him the story of how maybe Mr. McGinn had made the money for the bribe from cattle stolen from the Chisholm Ranch. As it is, Mr. McGinn is not going to get what he wants. Yes, Mr. Chisholm, of course, has the money. He gave us some, didn't he? I'm not saying this.
I don't remember.
Do you not give us,
if you've written it down on your character sheets, then yes, if not.
Tony, make sure you're editing
it. Yeah, you're not allowed to write it down now.
Yeah. $1,000. Yeah, it might have done, I don't know. It does kind of vaguely ring a bell, but only vaguely.
Yeah,
apparently I have $326, which sounds quite a lot, so some of that might.
So maybe he did give you a little bit for your pains. Okay, make another performing roll, but you're going to have plus one this time. Plus one dice.
Just one success. I would be willing to push that, the risk of a mishap. What did you roll?
One success.
Okay, I've burned through my fake like nobody's business here.
That's what it's there for. It's there to be spent. Can't take it with you, can you, William?
Oh, fuck it.
Okay, and there's a mishap.
Two mishaps.
Two
troublesome dice.
Two trouble. How many dice did you roll?
That one. I rolled five trouble plus one.
Okay, so I thought you were going to roll five dice. Oh, okay, two dice of trouble. Are you going to buy any of those off?
What, with a faith point?
Yeah. One per one, if you want to.
If I go down to zero faith...
That's not good either.
That's not good either. So I'll go down to one faith.
Okay, so roll 1d6 then.
Bloody grooming my horse as soon as we're done.
So roll 1d6 then for your... This is a mental or social trouble?
Four.
You're confused, your mind goes blank, or you lose your train of thought. You suffer minus one to roll related to the same issue for the rest of the scene. So, yeah, so you've been trying to convince him that you're not lying. And the story feels a little bit fantastical that you, you know, little people like you were...
Yeah, that part of it is actually true.
It is, but that's what seems fantastic, and he's not quite buying that.
But in short...
But you are seemingly being quite open with him. He's not thinking that you're necessarily lying. He's just for him, it all seems a bit too much, a bit fantastical.
If you had been there, Mr. Raper, you could have spoken to Mr. Chisholm on the town's behalf, and you would have listened.
Well, it'll be a good outcome... If McGinn doesn't get what he's so blatantly manoeuvring for.
I think we have to wait until the Grants Board has spoken, but I think...
I think we persuaded Chisholm that that would not be in the best interest of the community as a whole.
Okay,
the
well,
Begin was not a trustworthy
I welcome
man to deal with.
Your condolences. I welcome your openness. But now, you'll understand we have family matters
course,
to take care of.
Of course.
And he opens the door for you and ushers you out.
As we're leaving, I turn around in the way that I've done in a previous adventure. I say, just one more thing.
Are you Columbo?
Just one thing. We know you did the murder.
So, I don't think we've necessarily learned this. Am I to understand that Mr. Paquinto and the Paquito hand, they've not returned?
We've had none
of this news?
No one's seen them, as far as I know.
So I think we should...
Go and see the Paquitos as well, yeah.
Paquitos as well.
Okay. Are you, you're heading off to the Paquitos household, are you?
Which is number 11. Okay, that's next to the blessings.
What? That's handy.
Actually, I'm waving at you right now. Not sure. Heading off the Paquito Ranch, and
I didn't design the townhouse.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't design the scenario to drive a wedge between you two.
Wow.
Oh, no, I did wonder.
I didn't design it that way. But we'll see what happens.
So what are we going to say to them?
Basically say, oh yeah, we're sorry that Jonas hasn't returned.
We should say...
So that we did meet.
We met Mr. Paquito and were surprised that he hasn't come home.
Yeah, I guess...
And we can say that we discovered the bodies of the others, but there was no evidence.
Yeah, I think we'll basically just tell the same story that we told.
This is a new scene, so my... my trouble has disappeared, right?
Yes.
Well, so yeah, we go and say that. Basically the same story.
Okay, you get there. And you there's only a servant there. They're sort of like the houseman. All the others are out searching for Dimas.
Is Dimas the son of the...
So Dimas is...
Is the person we met on the trail.
Yeah.
Dimas is the younger son of Augustina Paquito.
Ah.
Who is the...
The matriarch.
Yeah.
All right.
And she's got two other children, eldest son Roberto and the middle daughter Rosalia. And they've got adult children. There's five adult children. And yeah, naturally there's nobody here to talk to at the moment because they are out searching.
Right. So we leave a message.
Yep.
To say that we are shocked and surprised to find that he's not returned home, for we met him on the trail. And if they want to talk to us, they can.
Yeah.
Anywhere to find us.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you leave a message. And the houseman says, yes, he'll pass the message on as soon as he sees Augustina Paquito.
I'll just ask, actually, again, as we leave the house. Just one more thing. Here's our brand new iPhone. No, that's what Steve Jobs used to say. Just one more thing before the biggest whatever. And I was on the
iPhone. Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I agree that
you... Mm-hmm. Yes, and cool, yeah. Most sensible thing been said so far.
Do you know where they're looking?
They're searching the trail to Albuquerque.
And we didn't meet them on the way down? From Albuquerque, where we've just been?
No.
Okay. Fine. Right. Let's head back home then. With a message, they know where to find us if they want to talk.
Yeah. Okay, back to you, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in back the Blessings bar.
Well, I ain't going to get pissed. I must really sit there looking at the letter with the same glass, you know, just not really drink, you know.
Okay,
yeah. Anyway, while they're doing their bits, I'm going to go up to the bar and talk to the two Blessings.
Yep.
And say, I'd like to buy you two gentlemen a drink.
Well, that's mighty generous of you, Nathaniel.
Gladly. And I wish to apologise for any future actions, because it seems my past.
Future actions?
Yeah. My past seems to be catching me up, gentlemen, so what may happen in the future, I apologise for no.
Now they're a bit confused.
They're like, what? What do you mean?
I just mean that my, unfortunately, certain events from my past look like they're going to be catching me up.
And that means trouble for us, does it?
It means there may be some. Hang up with it. Unsavoury, yeah. Let's say some unsavoury parts of my past may be catching me up.
You're being very mysterious, Nathaniel. Did you want to?
If they want to ask me, I'll give them the whole gossip.
Yeah, you will, yeah.
Do you want
to? No, I'm just apologising, yeah.
Just apologising for something that hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's probably it's going to be really bad.
And also something that definitely did happen.
Mm-hmm.
Before he was a prisoner of the Union. It's just what I want to point out.
Why wasn't there?
I just want to point out he was prisoner of the Union and they didn't massacre him. I can't think why.
The conditions in Camp Douglas were particularly bad. A lot of the Confederate prisoners weren't at the end of it. It wasn't massacres, but it clearly wasn't a holiday camp.
No, it wasn't Butlins.
It wasn't Butlins, no. But yeah, there wasn't. They didn't just murder them.
Murder them for being.
Oh God.
Yeah, they have a good opinion of you,
mm-hmm.
As do most people in the town because of what's happened. Well, because of the
even some of the ones that have met you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you stood up to the McGinns and you stood up to the Tannehill gang and. I think you're seen as, upstanding members of community. I'm not quite sure what your reputations are, but...
What reputations are? What about
me? Nothing, I'm just there.
Yeah. I guess because you haven't done very much here yet. Mm-hmm.
I am 5 moral and 3 cooperative. Or 5 good guy. Which, that needs a bit of work, because that just says bad / guy.
Just bad guy.
Bad guy.
You can be bad, or you can be a guy. And on that bad guy scale, I'm quite guy.
Seven, that's where the reputation is. So you've got 5 and 3. 5 on which one?
5 on the good guy, bad guy access up at the top.
Yeah, and 3 on the other. So you're seen as likeable and indecisive.
Can't say.
What are you?
4-4.
4-4, you are nothing, you're just there.
Yep.
But you're at the good end of nothing, you're just there. So I might change those, because having 4, nothing, you're just there doesn't really work very well. What's yours, Andy?
As far as I can see, I got fame of +5 and moral +1, I think, is all I can see.
Okay, so that gives you're a loner who looks after number 1.
That's obviously in the old as far as we've got marked down on it.
Or if it's the other way around.
Yeah, you should have another number in cooperative.
Yeah, I know. It's, yeah.
I think they could both be one.
Two ones.
Mm. I don't know. No, you've got nothing marked at all.
No, nothing marked. Okay. Yeah.
You know, two ones is as bad as he gets. Self-serving scum of the earth. Two ones.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been being a self-serving scum of the earth
recently, no.
In the way he's behaved. So.
Well, let's maybe give him some new numbers after this scenario. See how well he performs.
Okay, so yeah, the blessings are a bit confused, but no, they happily take a drink.
How far is it to Albuquerque? That's you still.
Yeah, Albuquerque is from where you are now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. About
150 miles.
Right. So it's kind of 3 or 4 days on the trail.
Not thinking of riding it. We've just
if you're, ridden. If you're moving, if you're moving,
if you wanted to go to Albuquerque, you should have bloody come with us. We could have done with you, to be honest.
How old is it? Is this letter? The letter is it dated at all? This letter.
Yeah, I. It probably is, and it's dated. Let's just think. It is dated probably 6 days ago, 7 days ago.
Right.
Whilst you two were still in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably at the point where you were just about thinking about leaving, actually.
Because we did spend that time pretty much constantly going, "Hello, we're Marion Freeman, a good friend of Nathaniel Hall." Hawcocks.
So I think possibly in your trading and the bartering and everything, some of these things came out in conversation.
I'm sure I did, because his name is definitely on the company accounts.
Yeah. I did put a wee bit up, yeah.
Freeman Hulse?
Yes, yeah.
Has he put any capital in?
I did put, yeah.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah, you got a point of capital.
Yeah.
Although, actually, the name you gave us then was Nathaniel Grand.
Yeah, you put a fake name, eh? I think that was just Andy struggling to think of the name of his character.
Suspicious.
Yes, they are.
Oh, I've got the character generation stuff if you need a new one later on.
Yeah.
Or either of you. Right. Okay, so that, yeah, they...
I'm mystified, yes.
They're a bit flummoxed about what you're going on about, but they can see you've had a couple of drinks and think maybe you're just being a bit drunk and maudlin about something. They don't inquire any further about what...
No, perfectly sober, unfortunately, yeah.
What you're...
Yeah, you've not been drinking. Apart from the first whiskey we had, when he read the letter out, and then I didn't buy him any more.
I didn't read the letter around the bar, no.
Okay, so the day progresses, the funeral, the funerals of Eugene Rayburn and Arnold Gilchrist are about to take place. If you're still in town, you can obviously attend those.
Yes.
It's quite a good time for attending. Augustina Paquito doesn't make an appearance, is there, at the funeral.
She makes an appearance at the funeral?
Yep. But yeah, there's only her and her daughter Rosalia are there at the funeral.
Obviously, for the duration of the service, we'll just be respectful and silent. But maybe afterwards, I'd like to maybe talk to her.
Yeah, the Rayburns have brought in a preacher to actually, you know,
officiate
the proceedings.
They brought in a preacher. Is there not a preacher in town or
anything? No, there isn't a church or a preacher in town at the moment. Yeah, and there are, after that, there are preparations for the festival, which is going to take place the following day.
I will go and thank the preacher anyway.
Okay.
Yep. To hear the word of God, but I'm always keeping an eye, and if I see Mrs. Paquita turning to leave, I will run after her, say.
Okay, so she's talking with Garland Rayburn, mm-hmm. and they're sort of quite a involved conversation, you know, not agitated or anything, but they're obviously having a fairly intense conversation. And then after a short while, she, you know, they clasp hands, and then she heads off back down towards the town square.
Right.
So it comes down towards there, yeah.
So I will just chase after her and say, Mrs. Paquito, I'm very concerned to hear that Dimas has not returned.
The Dimas hasn't returned yet.
I met him on the trail from Albuquerque. He seemed well then.
Mr. Rayburn did say that you'd seen Dimas.
He left before the confrontation with Mr. Picker.
Can you offer me any insights as to where he might have gone, or
not at all?
What might have happened to him?
We did meet. I met a notorious gang. I had a tense conversation with them. The sheriff thinks it was that gang that killed
Eugene
and the
Arnold.
Thank you.
It's incredible, isn't it?
I'm role playing that one point of trouble you get.
Crumbly candy bars.
But we looked around, and when we discovered their bodies, there was no sign of anybody else being involved.
Garland tells me as well that Eugene and Dimas brought you into the knowledge of what they were doing.
Package from Mr. McGinn, yeah. And we, I did not ride hard enough to intercept it, but we did have a conversation with Mr. Chisholm on behalf of...
He did tell me that you claim to have met Chisholm. Can you make a performing role, please?
He did tell me. Perform for me. Dance!
From there as well. I can
help. Yeah, you're there.
Yeah, you can have one of them.
Yep, dice from all three. Yeah. All two. Both. Otherwise, you
know. One success. How many?
Three. She doesn't believe a word of it.
I can push.
You can push
as well. I can't push. I'm down to zero.
I said no.
Tales of the Old West is brought to you by Effect. The music is Old West Game by Stu Venable, used with kind permission of the Angry Folk Media Empire.
It's just like the last game.